Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The Burt Show.
This is not a segment we would normally do. I mean, this is probably not one that we would book. But Ron Jeremy, adult film star Hall of Famer, really, was down the hall with the regular guys. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's got to be something there we can do with this guy that can be entertaining for our audience. Mm-hmm. So, Ron, our audience is so different from what they do down there that I'm not exactly sure what to do with this next couple of minutes.
It's a churchgoers, a Bible Belt.
No, it's not a churchgoers thing.
No,
I'm teasing.
Women.
I'm joking.
Yeah, we got more women listening to us, so I'm trying to...
Well, girls are actually... First of all, I did a lot of reality shows. Mm-hmm. When I was this adult. You know, a lot of women watch The Surreal Life.
Yeah, of course.
And then the Fame Games with Robin Leach.
Sure.
Yeah, they show that fight with me and Vanilla Ice on MTV all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, then I did Kathy Griffin's The D-List. I was on that show with her. I've done a lot of things that women have seen and like, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Not just, well, besides that. And also, even in the world of adult, women are becoming a lot now a new audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But women are buying. I was on the Joy Behar show recently on CNN Headline News. I was also on The View when she was on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said how women are becoming a very large audience now in the world of adult movies.
I was watching an MSNBC special. This must have been months ago. Mm-hmm. And most of these adult film corporations now are being run by women.
Yes, they are.
The owners are women and they're being run by
directors
women.
Directors are women.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of the women have their own companies. Yeah. They're all becoming very wealthy. You know, Jenna Jameson sold her company to Playboy for $14 million.
Mm-hmm. How long have the conventions been going on? Because I've seen like advertisements for a lot of adult conventions, and it seems like that is also a more safer space for women, because I think a lot of times for women, they don't want to feel creepy, they want to feel safe in an environment which there's a lot of adult stars.
Well, that's why the video market became so huge. See, that when it was in theaters before video was invented, women didn't really want to be seen in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
They want the neighbors to know where I'm going, you know. But then once it went out to video, you could see it in the privacy of your own home, boom, huge female audience. No one expected.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they never had a problem seeing adult material. They just didn't want to do it where people see them watching it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Will you, I guess it wouldn't be accurate to say you have as many female fans as you do guys.
No, I have more guys.
Yeah,
I like to brag and say, of course I do. But no, I got to be honest, you know.
How does...
But there are plenty of female fans, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. It's not like this taboo industry anymore for women.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In fact, Sherry has a question about that. Sherry wants to be on The Voice Disguise. You're on with Ron Jeremy.
Yes, I'd like to know how you get started in the industry, and is it something that you would try to tell people not to do? Because...
I tell them to think about it first because you're established on film. You know, they had a big debate. I was on a TV show with Dennis Hoff, who owns the Bunny Ranch. He's on HBO, and he was trying to say that, well, in the world of escort, it's legal. He has a legal brothel in Nevada, the Bunny Ranch. And he said that, and the show's called Cat House on HBO. He says HBO. And he says, at least there, when a girl does it, then when she quits, nothing is there on tape, and she can go to PTA meetings with the family and the kids. And whereas they do porn films, it'll always be out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell women, even though it won't be out there that much, because there's always new people coming along, you'll be in the back of the shelf somewhere. But, you know, once you do it, it'll be established on film. So I tell women to think real carefully before you do that, real carefully.
Who would you call to find out about it? I mean, how do you like?
Well, there's all the agents on the internet, worldmodeling.com or ladirectmodels.com, Gold Star. You know, there's a tremendous amount of agents who book the girls. They take you for your blood test, take your photographs. And again, work is suffering because of the internet and that you can get stuff for free now.
Mm-hmm.
All these websites are now free.
Really?
The porn business is seriously in trouble. A lot of companies are going out of business.
Sherry,
how do you compete? And look at the recording industry.
Sure.
Okay.
How do you compete with free?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a very good time to get in the biz because there's actually less people working now.
Sherry, what makes you think you'd be good in this kind of industry? I mean, do you think like because you really love this in your personal life that you think that you'd like it just as much professionally?
No, just an addiction.
It's an addiction.
To watch or performing?
Just doing it. In general, just
so performing,
not just the filming part. Just I just like to do that all the time. So I figured, why not?
You like to have sex all the time?
Oh yes, I'm actually broken up from relationships because they couldn't do it enough.
How soon can you drive to the studio?
Actually, I've been watching you for years. So.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Does that translate though? Like, if you, she's a really great example. Like, if you just really like having sex. Isn't it different when it's professional, like on screen?
Well, it's you have to cheat it for the camera, of course. You can't just, you know, when I'm directing a movie, you can't just be, okay, guys, go at it. It's like, come on, we can't say. Get the hair out of the way. Come on, move. Well, you put your arm is blocking. You know, like you have to do certain positions and angles so the audience can see what's going on.
Is that almost offensive to you, though? Because I got to admit, sometimes it throws me when people come up and go, hey, you know, I was listening to the radio, and you're funny, and I'm funny. I can do what you do. I'm like, okay.
No, no. Well, maybe they could. A little bit of instruction, a little bit of, you know, directing. Now with Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, almost any guy can be a porn actor. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only a handful of us lasted 20 years or more. But now, you know, with these new drugs, you know, the hardest thing was to be able to do that on camera.
Literally.
And perform. A lot of guys would get a little nervous, you know. Mm-hmm. But now with these pills, you know, almost any guy could be a porn star.
Answer this for everybody in the industry. How can you possibly do that so often professionally and turn the professional switch off and really enjoy it in your personal life?
That's so amazingly easy. People, that's not even a challenge because guys like that anyway. They say, how can you do, when I was on The View, Barbara Walters asked that and everyone thought that was so silly. You know, but how can you detach sex from romance? Men have been doing it for years. Women are catching up now. I lecture a lot at colleges. And
really?
Girls have a thing today called a boy toy. That didn't exist back in our era, mm-hmm. where the guy's just there to give the girl a good time and get out.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, how about, get it, you're done. Thank you very much. You
right.
know? And it, you know, now women are often in the one-night stands. And a lot of women, there's a magazine called Boink and H-Bomb. Women at Yale and Harvard and Boston University are starting their own magazines. College girls for women, by women, photographed by women, women audiences. And it's just funny. Girls are getting more sexual, not because of us, but hand in hand, the adult industry and women's sexuality seems to be blossoming at the same time. Because, you know, again, detaching romance from sex, everyone can do that. You did it when you were single.
Mm-hmm.
We can go to a bar or a club and meet a beautiful, beautiful woman, not be in love, still have a nice time. Girls can do it too. They were born and raised in our early era, you know, to just make sure it's romantic and you care about the person. And now a lot of girls today go, no, I'm horny. I want to have a good time. I don't have to love the guy.
When the attitude was different, you know, years ago, because like you said, yeah. There does seem to be a different attitude now where a woman can get detached. Was there ever a woman on the scene that would cry?
I haven't seen it happen. I heard that it could happen sometimes. I knew a case of a girl named Merle Michaels who was so cute. She said that she's not cheating as long as she doesn't enjoy and keeps it totally solid. I've known escorts at the Bunny Ranch said the same thing. If I start to like it, I feel like I'm cheating on my husband.
Oh, really?
My boyfriend, yeah. They'd say, stop. What's the matter? I'm starting to like this. I just take a breather. Stop. Back away. I go, what's the matter? I can't be enjoying it. I feel like I'm cheating.
No kidding.
They do that line in their head. Hmm. As long as they're doing it physically for the job.
Okay.
Just going through the motions. Huh. You know, just, oh, baby. Oh. That's all that matters. And they start to like it. Then they feel guilty on their husband. Isn't that weird?
So
that happens a few times, but it's funny.
That was one of the questions I wanted to ask. If you're watching an adult film, everybody looks like they're having a blast. The truth of the matter is nobody's really enjoying it.
Well,
this
they
is
are. It's divided. I'd say 50%. We've done surveys. Half the women in the business actually enjoy it. And out of that half, probably maybe 10, 20% actually can let go, have an ending. Whereas the men have to.
That could be actually.
If a guy doesn't really get into it, they have to hire a stand-in, and his career is not going to last too long.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I can actually use that as a selling point. What's like, that? Come get with me, you won't enjoy it, and you're not cheating. You know what I mean?
That's a great line. Like, that's a good line.
Like, seriously, I will be available for all of your that's infidelity
great.
Needs.
Try not to enjoy yourself.
Because I guarantee you will not like it at all, so
please.
No guilt.
Make all the wrong moves, so you won't feel guilty about it. Is this how you do it? No! Perfect. Enjoying this? Hell no. Perfect.
Because you've been doing this for so long, I'm assuming your numbers are in the tens of thousands of women?
Well, no. They had me and Gene Simmons on The View weeks apart and asked us how many girls. You know, we tried to tell the truth. You know, Will Chamberlain and John Holmes said 20,000. Both regretted saying it because that's stupid. Me and Gene were more honest. We said between 3,500 to 4,500. You know?
1,000.
3,500, yeah. And Gene Simmons is, we were being truthful. Then I made a funny comment. They said, well, look at the girls he gets when he, you know, that look like his gorgeous Playboy playmate, Shannon Tweed. When I'm not making movies, I get girls that look like Gene Simmons.
Is it something you still, like, after when you've had that many experiences, even as a guy, do you still enjoy every single time as much as you did the first time?
Yeah,
really?
Yes. Look. Variety is always fun. Look at your average rock star, you know, rap star, the guys who travel around the country. They say the same thing. You know, it doesn't get tiring. when they get a little older, and then maybe they have a wife, they have kids, maybe they slow down a little bit. We look at some of the older rock stars. But the young ones, they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing huge numbers. Huge numbers on the bus, the tour bus. Every stop is another face, you know? And so it's kind of, men are we're dogs. We don't get jaded as quickly. Women will often use the expression for love or money. When girls are in the sex business, whether it be the brothels or the porn films, you know, a lot of them really do enjoy the sex recreationally as well. But there's a good number of them that they're getting the recreational sex through the job.
Mm.
So it's like they use the term for love or money. You know, why be with this guy? It's not going to be a romantic relationship, you know, future marriage or something like a boyfriend, girlfriend. Why bother? Give me a paycheck.
So this almost justifies having sex.
It's either romance or just, yeah, or it's a paycheck.
Interesting.
So sometimes the girls get a bit jaded.
Interesting.
Not the guys.
Ron Jeremy is in town. He's going to be at the Pink Pony.
Food, drinks, a little comedy, some beautiful women, dancing. How can you go wrong?
How could you? It's good talking to you, man.
Hey,
Wendy, did we cover everything you wanted to cover there, Wendy?
It's the Pink Pony South. Let's just determine, because there's more than one.
Yeah, right.
So Pink Pony South.
Everything we want to cover?
No, I'm just fascinated. I think it's very interesting.
There'll be a large audience of females, too, there.
Is that right?
There always is, yeah.
How many people normally show up to these things for you?
It's hard to say. I mean, I pack colleges. But in nightclubs, it's always hit and miss. Usually there's a decent crowd.
Okay.
I did a couple of films that were like huge in colleges, regular films. Boondock Saints is a huge film. You guys ever see that?
I did not, no.
With Willem Dafoe. The South Park Boys did a film called Orgasmo, you know, Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit Rock City, the Kiss film.
Mm-hmm.
So these are three films I've done record-breaking, you know, numbers in colleges. So that's my biggest audience.
That's Ron Jeremy.
The Burt Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
So I am going underneath the knife today for some knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to Wendy and to Jeff because they've never had any surgeries
ever
at all before.
Right. Yeah, when I was a tiny tot, though, but I mean, they didn't do that kind of stuff. It was literally in and out, but never been under the mask or whatever it is.
The anesthesia.
Yes, anesthesia.
I told Burt, I was just surprised. I said, if I'm ever having surgery for anything... Mm-hmm. Like even, I guess a knee surgery would be, it's in and out, like minor. You're not spending the night in the hospital, right?
I'm not, no. They'll put you really? Out, they work on my knee, and a couple hours I leave.
So it's a minor outpatient surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just letting you know that if I ever have surgery, I will not be at work that day.
But for what reason?
Because like, it's a big deal.
What are you going to do, though? Like in this time, if I wasn't here, what would I be doing?
You're talking about like right now? Like,
yeah, he's saying he wouldn't come in today.
If I had a surgery scheduled for 12:30, that's the time your surgery's scheduled for, right?
I have to be there at 11, but yeah.
If I had a surgery scheduled for 12:30 today,
Brian,
I wouldn't come to work.
Why?
For what reason? That's what I'm saying. It's like, for what reason?
Because somebody's cutting me open later that day.
But what are you going to do? Think about the surgery all day at your house?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For what?
It's got to be nerve-wracking to go in there. Aren't you on like some sort of like stretcher and then all of a sudden they put this stuff on you and they hook you up and poke you?
Here's what it feels like. It's they will put they stick you in your arm and you feel it get cold up your arm. It gets into your shoulder and then you're out. There's no like fading into going to sleep. Yeah. You're out.
Yeah,
and you wake up and you it's like the next second, like the last time Tom did my knee, he put me out and I woke up and I'm like, when are we going to get started?
Yeah.
And it was a couple hours later. He's like, we're done, man.
But I think.
Really?
That's
the common, because one of my best friends just had surgery last week and I was in the pre-op with her and she was freaking out because she's never had surgery before. And same thing, like Katie and I both have had multiple surgeries. And so it is, just like Bert said, that's the common thing is like you wake up thinking, okay, when are we going to start? And it's done. And the nurses, they're saying, oh, you did fine. You're doing great. You know, and you're like, really? It's over?
Mm-hmm.
And in your mind, it lasts 5 seconds.
But see, with you guys...
The beauty of anesthesia.
Because Melissa has had her entire kidney replaced. She's been really, you know...
I've been under the knife for... That surgery took about 6 hours.
Yeah. And then have you had anything done before that?
Mm-hmm. Minor ones to build up to that. But that was the biggest one I've ever
had. So, like, you've... And you've had... I mean, Melissa's the oldest person in the world. You're
I am ancient. In the world. Okay, yeah. I win.
As I'm talking to Moses over here, like you've had your knees replaced, your hip replaced, you had your dementia fixed, you had cataracts removed.
Totally different colon.
Yeah. You've had it all done. So to you guys, it's no big deal because you know what's happening.
Yeah.
But like for me, where I've never had surgery other than, you know, like dental procedures or whatever, but I've never had my skin cut open and someone go inside me to repair or replace anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would be a big deal. It would be a stressful enough deal that I know I would be so useless.
Right.
On the day leading up to it, I would just sleep late. And
now, people get freaked out about it. Like the last 48 mm-hmm. hours, people are calling me going, "Hey, good luck, man. I hope everything works out." I'm like, "It's not heart surgery, dude. It's knee surgery." And frankly, I am looking forward to the sleep.
Yeah,
I really, really am. The rest. Because I don't sleep for crap. Mm-hmm. And with this job, you never get any sleep. So frankly, I'm really looking forward to sleeping well today. And honestly, I'm looking forward to the drugs I'm going to have later on today that are going to put me out all night long and this weekend.
Well, I've got Father Crumb coming in to do your last rites.
So it's really not a huge deal.
It's still surgery.
I mean, surgery is important, but
I was getting nauseous just talking about it in here.
But I mean, really, if you look at this statistically, that is one of the safest places. I mean, when you're in surgery, never in your life are you going to have a team of people that are doing nothing but watching you and taking care of you. I mean, it's one of the safest places you can be.
The only thing that freaks me out about any kind of surgery like that is getting a staph infection, is them not having the place clean enough, and you end up getting an infection, and that can happen.
That can happen anywhere, right?
That can happen anywhere, but that's the only thing that freaks me out about it. Actually going under and being unconscious and having the knee worked on, man, I'm looking forward to all of it because I've been hobbling around on this knee now for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like crap every single day, so I'm ready to go do it.
Well, I'm still going to wish you good luck on your surgery today.
Thank you, Wendy.
The Burt Show.
She kissed Ron Jeremy and she liked
no,
it.
No, oh my God.
She did not.
I'm sitting in my chair. Okay, so of course we just had Ron Jeremy in studio. I hope Jen's listening to this in LA. Mm. So we had Ron Jeremy in studio. Okay, everything's fine. And I thought I got it because Bert kept saying, "Oh, you're going to give a big hug. He's going to give you a big hug." I'm like, no.
Your joke was going to be a birthday hug.
So I thought, perfect. He's getting out of here. Everything's fine. And then he turned and he was shaking Jeff's hand. He was shaking Bert's hand. I thought, I'll shake his hand. And then I thought, I don't know if I want to shake his hand. And then he said, "No, I gotta hug pretty ladies." So he came and gave me a hug. And it was a lot, you know how when you're hugging someone you really don't want to hug. So I'm almost giving the kind of, I don't know,
the butt out hug.
Yeah. Well, and then he kissed me on my head. And so.
Do you know where those lips have been?
I know. Thank God it was. And so he kissed me on the top of my head, I guess, like I'm a good girl. And
if I were you, I would shave the hair as though you had lice.
Wow. And so, yeah. And
I just wanted to know your inner monologue at that very moment as he's approaching.
I was staring at Bert.
Wait, no.
I saw him coming. And then the way we were hugging, my face was almost in his pit. And he was kissing the top of my head. And I was looking over his shoulder. I was looking over at Bert, who was giving the fist pump like, yeah.
He turned out to be a really nice guy, and I think he handled himself, and the show handled it very, very well.
Yes, it was good.
Very well. Yeah. Once he left, I said to Wendy, I'm like, you know what we didn't ask? The question that we get time and time again from women is, look, if my guy is really, really bad in bed, is there anything I can really do about it?
Yeah.
And he would have been the dude to ask.
Absolutely. No.
Oh, bummer.
Next time, Melissa. When you have him come in next time and visit?
The next birthday. Who's that? Oh, I have the next birthday.
Bert, when's your birthday?
July 9th.
Oh, Bert has the next birthday.
Yeah, oh, hey.
Hey.
That's your birthday present.
You. Yeah. Like you, Melissa, Ron Jeremy was a star when my dad was a kid.
Yeah, your dad probably has a whole collection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's funny.
Actually, do you want to call him later today and talk about stuff?
Your dad?
your
yes. Well, I was telling Wendy, I'm so excited that Betty White's going to be on Saturday Night Live because we're contemporaries now, you know?
Melissa turns 40 years old today.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yes. And I am totally fine with it. I'm not somebody that has been freaked out about 40. I embrace it. I think it's cool. It's going to take some getting used to say I'm in my 40s. That is an odd phrase to say. But yeah, no, I am totally fine with it.
This is, if you missed this earlier this morning, the AP News did a story on our very own Melissa Carter and her birthday
Pretty
today.
Cool.
A Georgian television station has shown what it says to be the world's oldest person. The woman is named
Melissa Carter.
The station says she was born back in 1880. That will make her 130 years old.
Man.
The station says it established her birth date from documents at the country's Civil Registration Agency. Now, if authentic, the woman would be the world's oldest living person by nearly two decades. Georgia's Civil Registry Agency is now trying to get the woman's documents verified, possibly putting her in the Guinness Book of World Records. Brian Thomas, The Associated Press.
Very cool for AP
That's
to do that.
So awesome. I know. Congratulations.
Yeah, and to win some kind of competition is always important in this room, so it's good I'll be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
The oldest.
Awesome.
Neat.
Awesome.
Hey, The Bird Show.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
We will try to help one of Wendy's friends who is trying to keep a secret, so we'll talk about it on the radio.
Yeah. Well, she's trying to keep it a huge secret, so, I mean, obviously I won't say her name on the radio, but I have a friend who told me just last weekend we went out, which I don't know why we were going out if this had happened to her. We went out, and she told me that she got busted for a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
And so caught drinking and driving just above the limit, she said. Obviously went to jail. She's super close with her family. I've got to get the backstory. She's super close and tight with her family, especially her mom and her sister. Her dad usually tells everything that's going on in her life. So he never keeps secrets from her parents at all or her family regardless. So got a DUI, went to jail, bailed herself out so she didn't have to call her parents. Well, now she's working overtime. She's hired a lawyer, obviously, because I'm guessing that's what you do when you get a DUI. You have to go to court and figure it all out. Well, hired a lawyer and really expensive, trying to pay it on her own. But meanwhile, her parents still have no idea that she's gotten this DUI. But now she's stressing all about it and can barely pay the lawyer's bills and doesn't know what to do, whether to tell her parents or not, because, I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, that's my worst nightmare.
How old is she?
She's 20, I'll say 25, 26 years old.
Because there's a part of me that wonders if, I mean, unless she's thinking about asking her parents for financial help, I honestly don't know why she would need to tell them.
But, I mean, I guess the stress of it, I mean, to talk to somebody about it and being so close. She talks to her mom every day. So being on the phone and having that way in the back of your mind, I couldn't help but share something with my mom about it or even go around it. I wouldn't be too excited to share it with her. But to be that close and always have that lingering and lurking, I don't know if I could deal with that.
I appreciate the fact that she's trying so hard to get, you know, she's taking care of it, though. You know, the fact that she's, you know, bailed herself out of jail. And that she's, you know, trying to do the legal fees by herself. I mean, that's to be commended. I mean, she's trying to make up for
Did she live at home or does she live on her own?
She lives on her own.
Okay.
But still being super close with your parents, wouldn't you spill the beans or it'd come out some way?
My concern is, that it would come out some way, that they would hear. If there was a way I knew that I could keep it 100% from them, then I would do that. But my concern would be just, you know, the way government operations, like what if there's some police department file or district attorney or whoever has to get involved when you're dealing with the DUI motor vehicles that doesn't have her address updated. So then a letter goes to her parents' house that advises her of a court date or a change in her license status or something like that that mom and dad see.
Well, I do think most of her bills do go to her parents' house because she didn't move out not too long ago.
That would make me so nervous.
Because on her license is her parents' address. Like on my license, I usually have my stuff go to my mom's house because it's the steady address. I know I can always go there and get my mail or get my bills.
Do they open her mail though?
I don't. But if you saw something from like government or a lawyer's office, wouldn't you like raise an eyebrow if it was your kid?
Well, my parents, I mean, it doesn't happen anymore, but they used to, like when I lived in Boston and then in Arizona, like if something came to the house, to their house, they would. If it looked important or like a bill or something, they would open it so that when I called them, they could tell me. And I had no problem with that. So like they would say, hey, we got a letter from, most of them were from Syracuse University advising me of unpaid parking tickets. You got another unpaid parking ticket. You owe Syracuse $15. But stuff like that. So if they do the same thing, trying to be helpful. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Bird Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on?
I've actually gotten a DUI, got convicted, and nobody in my family knows about it.
Mm-hmm. Still to this day, now, how long has it been?
It's been about 4 years. I got one more year until it's actually off my insurance record.
Who is in your family? Like, is this your parents or your siblings or?
All of them.
Well, then
parents, siblings, grandparents. The only people that know are some of my friends.
And how did you keep it away from them?
Had one of my friends put a bond up for me to get me out, mm-hmm. and every other mail article I related to ticket.
See, and then he brought up a good point about insurance, because I have no idea if she's on her parents' insurance policy. Wouldn't that...
Well, if she's connected to her parents somehow that she needs to tell them, then I see where that's the case. But just because of feeling guilty, like I feel like this may be a case of I don't know, girls versus guys, because she feels so an emotional wreck because of this. She feels she needs to confess to her mom this, where I just don't, I think it's something she did as an adult. She's making up for it, and it's, you know, and she'll take care of it. And I don't understand why she needs to, because it sounds to me like she wants to confess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When mm-hmm. she's an adult and she's taking care of it. I don't understand why her mom has to know, you know?
Hey, Jordan, welcome to the Bird Show.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it wasn't in the newspaper.
Do they still publish?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they still publish that kind of stuff.
I think I've seen some like small news community newspapers that it might be in, but I don't think the AJC publishes it. What's the AJC down to 5 pages?
I was going to say they don't have the money to do that.
They're out of the space now. But they Well, see, Christian has a different. Hey, Christian, welcome to the show.
Hey. First off, I just want to say, do not lie. You get caught every time. May not be right away, but she will get caught.
But it's not caught doing it's what? Not a lie. She's technically not lying. She's just choosing not
true,
to tell.
True, true, and that leads into my second point. What it sounds like is she is looking for emotional support from her parents. If she's that close to them, then she needs their emotional support to get through this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I kind of agree with that. Me personally, I don't know if I could go through something like that without sharing it, at least with my mom.
At what age would you? Do you think it's something, if it happened to you at 30? Oh, you probably can't tell. I mean, you can't tell the future.
Well,
what age would you have stopped having your mom,
Millie Pete,
mom and dad be in the loop?
I think that's why at 25. I think 25 to 27 is probably when I started to cut that, you know, mm-hmm. the umbilical cord a little bit. And, yeah, because right now it just seems unimaginable for me to call Millie Pete if anything occurred, you know, mm-hmm. that really had nothing to do with her. But I mean, I guess if she's feeling if she needs the emotional support, I get that. It's just, I guess my thing is that I think she's handling this very well when it comes to actually, you know, making up for it and mm-hmm. doing, you know, trying to be responsible about it. And I don't like the feeling of that she's so distraught and she needs to confess. I'm repeating myself, but it just sounds like she's more upset about it than I wonder if she should be.
Hey, Michelle, mm-hmm. welcome to the Bird Show.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
She's going to have to come clean because all the DUI attorneys are going to start sending solicitations to the address on her license. Excuse me. They're going to know. So if she wants them to know from her, she might as well go ahead and come clean.
So the lawyers send stuff to their address?
Yes.
Yeah.
You will get solicitations immediately.
Because the what they do is they put in the mm-hmm. it's public record. So mm-hmm. lawyers who are looking for that kind of business pull that record like every week or every day.
Oh.
Like anything that's public record and there's a business attached to it,
mm-hmm.
they'll put you on mailing lists. So same thing if you don't pay your bills.
Mm-hmm. But as a parent, would you question that if that came in?
I would. If all of a sudden out of nowhere.
It could just be regular advertising. You know how you get like little pamphlets in the mail that don't mean anything?
I mean, it depends on her parents, and it depends on if her mail. I mean, you say her mail goes to her parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
It
just
depends on how they sort it and how they deal with it. I mean, it, you know, it just depends on her personal situation.
Hey, Nydia?
Yes.
Tell us your story.
I got a DUI when I was 29, and my husband called my parents.
What?
Why?
And he was terrified. I was terrified. The officer assaulted me, and I guess he panicked.
Were you okay with that, or once he told you that, were you kind of like, hey, that's just in the future, I got this?
Well, my whole situation was a mess, but yeah. After I calmed down and everything, then I was like, okay, I didn't know what else he could have done.
And what did your parents do?
They bailed me out.
I
paid for everything after that.
Because I think if I was living in Syracuse and that happened, I think my parents would probably say something along the lines of, wow, good luck with that.
That's where I am is my parents were, there's the fine line of, yeah, we're still your mom and dad, but you're an adult now. And, you know, my parents would definitely be the, all right, take care of it. Yeah.
Hey, Katie, welcome to the show. You'll be our last call.
All right. I was in the same situation 2 years ago. I mean, it was New Year's Eve and it was a .081 and it was ridiculous, but I kept it from my parents. My friends, you know, were able to bail me out. I got my own lawyer, but my advice is just, it's going to make you feel a whole lot better once your parents find out. They found out because things started getting mailed to their house, and they were just like, well, what is all this stuff? What are all these lawyers? You know, and I was like, oh, no big deal. And then finally, once I just sat down with them, and I was bawling my eyes out, but I just said, you know, I'm so sorry, and this is what it was. And they just said, okay, well, you know, they were proud that I had started to handle it, and that was it, but they weren't mad, but they were glad that I learned my lesson, and you feel a lot better once they know.
See, my first reaction to your friend is the fact that I'm impressed that she's, I mean, taking care of it already. You know, she bailed herself out. She's already got the lawyer. I agree with that last call. It's probably what her parents' reaction will be, is that, you know what, at least we raised her to be able to know how to handle herself, you know?
So no telling of parents.
I kind of agree with Melissa.
Yeah, I don't understand the reason why.
It's grow-up time now.
She's an adult.
Now, if she's in a situation where she's going to lose her apartment because she can't make her rent because she has to go to DUI school and that costs so much money, or her lawyer or whatever, then she may have to go to her parents humbly and say, I need you to help me.
Because I'm not clear on why does she want to ask for money, or she just wants to go and be a buddy, or need her mom as a buddy.
Probably just needs the emotional support more.
Yeah,
I
understand that. But at some point,
it's grown-up time.
You've become so cynical as an old woman, Melissa.
No, it's freeing. I mean, it's freeing. I think the fact that once you realize that you don't have to tell your parents everything, and they're happy for you not to tell them everything, then you're your own person. It's freeing. It's wonderful. I don't think it's a bad thing.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
You're on The Burt Show.
The story that everybody's been talking about over the past few days is this townhome situation.
Yes.
Out in Decatur, a woman lives in a townhome, and there's a guy that pulls up every day, spends 5 minutes in the community. He doesn't park in the most convenient spot. She can't see where he goes. She thinks it's this one townhome. She doesn't know if he enters or not, but it's a 5-minute visit, same time, every single day.
Yeah, well, again,
we tried to juggle around. We tried to get the interns to go out, but our interns are chickens.
Well, the thing is, I mean, to be more specific, if you did not hear the original replay, is the fact that this guy would come at the same time, but he would not park at the townhome. He would park somewhere else. He would walk to the townhome. He would kind of look around to see if anybody was watching him. Then he would go behind this row of townhomes to go to this one particular townhouse. And the thought I understood was that he goes into the home for five minutes, and then he leaves. And it's like clockwork. He comes in at the same time every morning, parks, walks, goes in for 5 minutes, leaves, and then gets back in his car and drives away.
Well, and he wears that leather jacket in, so he wears the jacket going in and then takes the jacket off when he comes back out to his car.
And she said that she just started noticing this pattern because he's been doing it all winter long. Mm-hmm. So this has been months that he's done the same routine Monday through Friday every single day. So we were curious, and we sent Frankie out there to go and just be there when he shows up to maybe strike a conversation with him.
And Frankie did have a conversation with him.
He did.
Frankie is on hold with us. Hey, Frankie, how are you?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Frankie had a conversation with him, and the story will continue on Monday.
What?
Listen to this.
Wait, what?
Listen to what happened.
Okay.
All right. So he pulled in at 9:45 on the dot, just like every day. I waited till he walked behind the house, and then I got out, and because it was raining, I had an umbrella, so I pretended I was looking at the front of the townhouses where he parked.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came back up, I you know, I asked him, I was like, excuse me, do you live here? And he said, yes. He said he lived in the neighborhood. And I was like, I was looking for a to buy a townhome in this area and was wondering if you know if there are any townhomes here for sale. And he said, yeah, I think so, but he wasn't sure which ones were available or which ones were vacant or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept drilling him with the questions, trying to figure out who he was, why he was there. But it pretty much stopped at he wasn't a real estate agent, because if I said I was looking for a home, then, you know, you would think that he would say that, oh, I'm a real estate agent, here's my card. Nothing like that. He was kind of standoffish and kind of shady about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we had our conversation. That was pretty much the end of it. And after he left, I walked by the house that he walks into, and there is a real estate lockbox on the front door.
What?
Yes.
Hmm, weird.
So he's not a real estate agent. There's no houses for sale, yet the house he goes into has a lockbox on it.
Which would explain why he went through the back, but not why he went through the back.
The whole thing was just weird. So it's really bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have planned, I'm going to plan to do a stakeout this weekend and find out if it's just a Monday through Friday or whatever. And I'm going to find out about the house and everything else. And hopefully I'll have more information for you guys when that gets done.
Now, Frankie, you said that there's stuff in the house. Like last time you saw like a table and stuff in the house.
Intern Brandon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a furnished house.
So what if, this is just my thought, I don't know if anybody's ever said anything, what if it's been foreclosed on and he's the old owner of the house?
But if it's foreclosed on, you're not allowed, so what's he just going to
he's visit? Trying to figure out how to get his stuff back
puts
out.
Puts his hand on the glass and
maybe.
No, but nobody's brought that up.
It's a good
maybe,
point.
Yeah, like he goes back every day to see if there's a way in.
He wouldn't just show up for 5 minutes if he was trying to get his stuff out.
Maybe he's hoping every day that it's somebody left it unlocked.
Showed the house and left like the door unlocked or something like that.
Did you happen to notice if the lockbox... Now, it wouldn't make a difference. His lockbox is closed. I was going to say, if maybe he opened it.
He goes through the back.
Yeah, he can't get in the front. Or he would get he would get the key out of the lockbox.
So, are you doing the stakeout thing this weekend or on Monday?
I would think Monday.
Because if you could do it this weekend, we'd like to have you back on Monday, and then we'll get Whitney on, and that will be motivation for Bert to feel healthy and come back in, because this is driving him nuts, I think, more than it's even driving the girl in the house nuts more. But we'll Tracy and I will talk to you off the air, and if you want to do that, man, we're all for it.
All right, cool.
Huh.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for all the help up to this point.
Bizarre.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, cool. Thanks, Frankie.
All right, bye.
I know is this guy's doing something he's not supposed to be doing.
Yes.
I think so, too, especially if he's standoffish and going through the back in a lockbox on the house. We have busted him, but we don't know what we've busted him for.
We got you.
We got you. I don't know what it is, but we got you. Is there something you need to
tell
us?
Bad boys, what you gonna do?
That's what Frankie should have done, is just walked up and goes, sir, is there something you need to tell me right now?
Oh, that would have been perfect.
It's going to be a lot easier if you just tell me right now rather than waiting for it all to come down.
Right.
Maybe maybe he got busted for a DUI and he had all of his mail sent to that house, so his parents didn't find out about it. He's just going to pick up the mail.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.